Well, again, good evening to everyone. It is good to see so many out this evening. We're thankful for your presence and looking forward to getting to know everyone again a little bit more. On a personal note, it is good to be back again here this evening. It's been several years since I've been able to speak here, been here visiting quite often, and it's a privilege and honor to be able to be with you tonight to speak a lesson from God's Word. If you go ahead and open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. We want to begin looking at that tonight as our lesson, talking about, as you can see on the slide kind of above it, talking about dusty Bibles leads to dirty lives. And I want to begin off looking there at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where Paul writes, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Several years ago, kind of as I began preaching, I was at a congregation that was all about the church signs, and it was pointed out quite often that, you know, we need to focus on that church sign because that was what was going to draw people in. And so, you know, for a while there, I had come up with different things, putting some scripture up, and then finally came to the point of wanting to. We had a correspondence course going on. Left that up there for several weeks, and had some of the members. They didn't like that. They wanted to see it changed every week. And I was trying to promote something, let people know about different things. And so, well, we want to focus on the church sign. We want something else. And one of the members had come up and gave me a book that they purchased at Cracker Barrel. They wanted things, you know, like our church is prayer conditioned and all these different quirky types. They believed that was what's going to draw people into the services. And several discussions with this, and I finally said, well, if they're wanting to come in for just based on the sign, well, then we might want to think some other things about this, about what people are here for, right? But then there was one, this one right here, and I know this is a pretty popular one. Several times as we look at and see on billboards, I saw this, first I saw it was down in Arkansas, and finally it dawned on me, said, you know, that sign right there would actually make a pretty good sermon. Because it's true how if we allow the dust on our Bible, letting it collect, that it does lead to dirty life, right? Talking about sin. We don't understand the subject of sin, and we can see that if we continue in sin, we let our Bibles collect dust where we're not giving attention, giving the time to read, to study, to give all these things to it. Well, we can see that has a negative effect on our life, and it makes us unprepared to meet our God and Creator in the end. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Let's move this down just a little bit. But as you think about this with me just for a few moments tonight, I think about how if we allow this to kind of let so much dust collect on our life, it does lead us to having a dirty life. We run into people who don't want to read the Bible or who won't read the Bible. In fact, if you ask people, do you have a Bible? Yes. A lot of times people have these Bibles and they have one. And you know, it's that one that's about that big, the big heirloom family Bible, the one that if you put on your legs fall asleep. A lot of people, that's the only Bible that they have. And it's, well, you know, it's uncomfortable reading that. But a lot of people, well, that's the only Bible I have. Or else, somebody says, oh, I do have a Bible. And they'll pull it off the shelf. And there it is. I mean, it's just caked with dust. It's just, so it hasn't been opened. The spine is brand new and everything. Friends, that's not the way we're supposed to be using our Bible. People use it for a prop. Or to be able to hold up the table or whatever it may be. People don't use the Bible for what it's supposed to be used for. Paul writes here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, about God's Word, about what it does for man. about how it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That we may be a complete man of God. That God has provided everything that we need to be able to stand before Him, to be prepared. I'm reminded as well what's said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus says, not when He says to me, Lord, Lord, son of the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. We got to do God's will. How are we going to know that? Well, kind of looking at what we just read as well from 2 Timothy 3:16-17 is that, well, I got to study God's word. I got to open it. I got to give attention to it. And we want to consider that for a few moments tonight, looking at this lesson on dusty Bibles leading to dirty lives. You think about it with me just for a few moments, talking just about the neglected Bible, talking about a closed Bible. You know, recently being at a gospel meeting, I had the opportunity to hear one, and he was said something that was pretty simple and straight to the point. And that was, without knowledge of the Scriptures, we can't realize the beautiful things God has prepared for us. Yeah, that's been mentioned several times in lessons. Many people, many preachers have spoken and said similar things. Are we opening our Bibles? Or are we said closing them, keeping them shut? Every couple years, I gotta be different. I gotta have the green Bible up at the pulpit with me. My dad does a lot of the work for me in trying to find that Bible for me. I like the slim line and everything. It just fits me just right. But every couple of years, he's got to buy me a new one because the spine is just completely worn out where all the pages are falling out. It gets to a point where I make notes in it where it's not legible in any type of way. But, you know, that's a good thing. You know, we buy new Bibles. We continue to use them for what their intended use is for and not having them just shut. Think about this with me just for a few moments. Again, there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Again, knowledge of the Scriptures. What Paul's writing, what Paul is revealing to us is knowledge of the Scriptures leads us to the understanding of God's plan. All Scripture, as it begins off writing there in those two verses, all Scripture is given through God and by God, through His creation of all things. God has given us these things that we need in this life. If we open our Bibles and study them, we can understand what we need to be, and that's being doers of the Word. If you go over to James chapter 1, and if you'll notice, I am one that does not put very many verses up. Part of the reason is I like to hear the pages turning. And so I don't put the verse, I'll put the verses up here to be able to know where to go to. But I want you to follow in your Bibles with me because I want to make sure that I'm teaching accurately and not just believing in what I'm saying. But in James chapter 1, verses 17 down to verse 23. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Again, think about this with me just for a few moments. If we open our Bibles, we can understand that we need to be doers of the word. James here is writing, well, you can't just be hearers of the word. You got to be doers of the word. How are we going to be able to know that? Well, we got to open God's word. We got to study this. We got to give the necessary attention to it, to know what God's plan is for us, what God has done for us. Again, we think about it and mention there in Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Again, if we're going to be doers, well, this means I've got to be doing the will of the Father. If I want to enter into heaven, I've got to do God's will in all things. In order for us to be able to begin with this, to be able to do God's will, we need to follow His inspired word. Have faith in what He says. If you go over to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Paul says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to have faith. The beginning of our relationship with God is based on our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, as we read in Hebrews 11, verse 6. But here he says, well, in order to have this faith, you got to hear the word of God. You got to study. You got to open it. We encounter people throughout this time that we have on this earth, and throughout the community here, who have no knowledge of the Bible. They have a Bible. Again, they may have a Bible. You'll ask them, well, do you have a Bible? Yes. When was the last time you opened it? Well, if they start putting their hand at their head and they start, you know, giving it one of these numbers, trying to count, running out of fingers and everything, well, that's not a good thing. That's actually pretty sad. A lot of people, well, I got it on the bookshelf at home. Well, it's not going to do us a lot of good, just sitting on the bookshelf at home. Not opening our Bible, we don't learn a lot of things. Think about this with me for a moment. Where we came from, you can go back to the book of Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created all things. In the beginning, God created the earth, the heavens, the moon, the sun, the stars, the land, the animals, the sea. What else did He create? Well, He created you and I. Not opening our Bible, we don't understand where we came from. There are many people that have come up with many different types of concepts. Well, you know, so many millions of years ago, we've evolved from this, or we had this this big explosion and everything. That's how we've come about. You know, man's ideas on things have changed so often. And sometimes you even go back and say, well, maybe there was an ultimate creator. Well, I can trust that there was if I put my faith in God, in His Word. Knowing where I came from in the beginning, God created these things. What else can we not learn? If we close our Bible and we decide we're neglecting things, we don't learn a lot of things. Well, what was given to us? If you go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And beginning with verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. It says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Yes, people, well, yeah, I've heard of Jesus Christ. But by not opening our Bible, by not studying, by not giving attention to it, by letting the dust collect on it, well, we don't understand what was given to it. I know who Jesus Christ, you know, we don't fully understand the gift of God that was given to us to give us all everlasting hope. To give us all that hope and that promise of everlasting life with Him who obeys God. As well, some other things we don't understand, that we don't learn. What our true purpose is in life. We'll look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. As you look at Jesus and His Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Our purpose in life is to be seeking and doing God's will. You could as well go over to Romans chapter 12. We'll look at that verse as well. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Well, how do I do that? Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 1, on what we need to be doing. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Again, I've got to give myself to God. I've got to be a living sacrifice. I've got to present my ways acceptable to God, doing God's word, doing God's will. Some other things to think about with me is about our home. You know, there are two homes that one can have when they pass away from this life. And if you go over to Matthew chapter 25, you read about both of these homes. As you look at the parable of the individual with the talents, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. Again, if we close our Bible, we don't understand what our home could be. Being able to have the hope of heaven. If you read verse 21 with me, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We talk about heaven. But as well, we want to talk about the other hope. If we decide to close our Bible, if we decide to be wicked, lazy, by closing our Bibles, we would be considered a lazy individual because we're not doing God's Word. And what is Christ in his parable here? He says in verse 30 about the unprofitable one, the one that didn't do his part in trying to do his work for the kingdom. He said, cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're going to talk more about this, about our home here in a minute, about being prepared. Again, we talk about our home. About what our home could be with God or without God. But if we close the Bible, we don't understand that. One more thing to think about with me on this point. And that is, what's going to happen to us when we pass from the earth? There are many ideas of different things of what's going to happen when we pass away from this earth. But if you go over to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1, there are many ideas that come about, but Paul writing to Timothy, as we just read in chapter 3 about the scripture being inspired by God, well, he goes on further here in verse 1 of chapter 4. He says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. What's going to happen to us when we pass from this earth? Well, if we're still living and the earth it comes to an end, well, we're going to be standing before God, appearing before Him in His kingdom. We're either going to hear words of welcome or words of punishment. There are many things that we could continue on looking, but I think this kind of drives a point home that we need to open our Bible. We don't want to have a neglected Bible. So continuing on, looking at the next part. Well, a dusty Bible, what else does it do? It leads to a lack of knowledge, and that's a poor life. I want you to think, has someone ever mentioned this? Have you heard the term, no Jesus, no salvation? That's another one of them signs. I've had a fascination, if you can talk to me more, I've had a fascination with church signs where I'll go and take pictures now of all these different places. Here's another one. No Jesus, no salvation. And that's true. If we don't have Christ in our life, there is no hope of eternal salvation. Christ needs to be living in us, as we read in the book of Galatians. Without Jesus, we can't have the knowledge of the hope of eternal life. Thus leading us to coming to a conclusion that having the knowledge of God is important. Having the Bible involved in life, opening, studying, reading, it is important for us. Again, if we have a dusty Bible, we're going to have a poor life. You may have come in contact with several individuals before. Well, they don't study. You may have tried to have discussions with them. Well, I don't know anything about the Bible. I don't have very much knowledge. I've never read it before or given any time to it. I know just some of the basic things. You ask a lot of these people that, what's the condition or the state of their life? Are they living in sin? Well, of course they are. But looking at other things, well, what are they doing? Well, they're giving into many types of immoral types of acts. Think about our society today. Think about our world today, where so many times people are trying to eliminate God. And what's being replaced with it? Well, a lot of immoral type of actions. We talk about homosexuality. We could talk about marriage, divorce, remarriage. We could just continue on with all the different types of things that are going. Well, we're going to eliminate God, take God out of the picture, but replace it with this. Well, we're not including God in our life, and we can see the negative impact that has. Because we'll do whatever we want when we want. That's the mentality today, isn't it? I'll do whatever I want, when I want, how I want to do it. And that's the wrong way to think about it. I believe, and I think about this, and I don't think I'm wrong about this, but what about Israel in the Old Testament? Didn't they have an idea of, well, I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want to do it? Go back to Judges chapter 17. It's mentioned a couple times in the book of Judges, but in Judges 17 in verse 6, the verse says, in those days, there was no king. And Israel, they did what was right in their own eyes. Well, okay. Israel ran into this type of trouble back into the Old Testament. And what happened to them? Well, they were no longer God's selected special people, as we see today. They're not the only ones that have the exclusive right to be called children of God. They lost that, well, based on that type of mentality, falling away from God. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want to do it, wherever I want. They left God out of the picture. They did what was right in their own eyes. And we can see through the Old Testament. This is a reminder for us. Christians today, if we decide that we're going to do what we want, when we want, however we want to do it, we could lose favor with God. We could fall short of the glory of God. We need to continue to give attention, to learn, to continue to grow, to have this knowledge that God has supplied for us. With a lack of knowledge, what happens? Well, we allow sin to enter our life through temptation. Over in the book of James, again in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 13 down to verse 16. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. The Bible speaks clearly about the subject of sin. Talks about temptation. You know, there are many times where people want to play the blame game. Well, someone else has done this. Someone else has caused me to sin. You go back to the Old Testament. We talk all the way back to the beginning of time where, Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the serpent. The point to make, well, someone else caused me to sin. But James reminds us here, that no, it's not. It's based on our own desire. Where we give in to that. With a lack of knowledge, we don't understand the dangers. And with a dusty Bible, we don't understand the danger of sin. That when we give in to temptation, it gives birth to sin. But that's not the end of it. If we continue in sin, and we let sin continue to rule in us, to continue to be our desire, well, it says it brings forth death. And, you know, sometimes that might be the case with physical death, but we could see that by living in sin, we're separated from God and we have eternal death, eternal separation from God. And James says, don't be deceived about it. Don't be convinced that sin is okay. By opening your Bible, you can see that the subject of sin is not just kind of brushed aside. If we allow sin in our life, we're falling short of God's glory. That we're separated from God. We allow the works of the flesh to dwell in us, to enter into our lives, and thus leading to a life of corruption. If you go over to the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5, you can look at the list with me there. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. It says, For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You look at that list, let's compare it to what's going on in society today. We can see, yeah, there's a lot of that going on. Pretty much all of it is going on. And what does Paul say about those who practice such things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? A poor life. A poor standard of life. So I'll be like, this is okay. But it's not. The Bible sheds light on the subject of sin. It's not just mentioned here, it's mentioned throughout. That if you want to enter in heaven, you've got to do God's will. And God's view of sin is that it is wrong, it separates you from God. There are consequences to it. In comparison, you're kind of like that foolish man. By not studying, by not taking the knowledge that God supplies, you're like that foolish man. Leaves have no knowledge. Remember that? Remember what it said over Matthew 7, verse 26? The kids. I always enjoy seeing the kids sing this song. Be in the van, and the kids will start singing, got to get those fists going together and everything. Mentions about two different types of houses. How about the wise man and the foolish man? Well, yeah, we see the wise man. He built his house on the rock. The rain sent, the floods came, the winds blew beyond the house, and it stood. But Jesus well talks about the foolish man. As Jesus continues to finish up his Sermon on the Mount, he says, those who hear these things and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. As the kids would go, great was its fall. See, we understand looking at this that, well, yes, we don't want to be like that foolish man. That's what we're trying to tell the kids and teach kids in class. Well, again, talking about ourselves, by opening our Bible, by studying, by taking advantage of the knowledge that God has supplied, well, we need to continue to build and not be like this foolish man said, be like that wise man who built his house on the rock. Because there are many people that think it's okay to live in sin. People believe, well, God is just going to accept me in the end and we're all going to be saved. We're all going to go to heaven. That's not the case. There's going to be a sad day coming for many to hear, believing in that concept. Without knowledge, we can't really understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Without God's knowledge, we cannot understand what the true blessing it is to be a disciple, to be a follower, to be a servant of God. Over in Luke chapter 14, verse 28. It says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build or was not able to finish.' Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." We got to count the cost. There's a great blessing in being a disciple of Christ. But if we decide to have God's knowledge, a collected version of this Bible, and we decide just to close it up, to not use it, we're not counting the cost. We don't understand what the true cost is. Then we got to continue to grow. We got to continue to learn. We got to continue to build. If I decided I wanted to build a house, and I go to my local Lowe's hardware store there in town, well, I could see that, well, I go in there with a couple 2x4s, some USB, and I'll build my house with that. Or I decide, I've got all these great plans. I'm going to go in there with $5. I'm not going to be successful with that. So again, we can't understand what it means to truly be a disciple of Christ. And in reality, we're a disciple of man and not God when we decide to not take advantage of God's knowledge. One more thing to think about with me as time's kind of getting away from us. Dusty Bibles lead to a lack of preparation. The terror of God. You know, we can look at different things. God has warned us. You can look throughout the Old and New Testament that God has consistently warned us about needing to be prepared. We even have a song in Psalm book, "Unprepared to Meet Thy God." It is sad to be unprepared to meet thy God. That we're not going to listen to the warning. There are many people that will mock and not believe in the warning that God has said. And said, well, I'm not ready. I don't care. It don't matter. That's a sad condition. That's a pitiful condition. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared to meet our God in the end. Jesus in the gospel accounts gives us so many warnings through his teaching that we need to be watchful. If you go over to Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, and verse 42, Matthew 24, verse 42. Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." With dusty Bibles. Again, think about that concept. Think about that saying that we just mentioned a few moments ago. With a dusty Bible, we have no Jesus, no salvation. We're unprepared. Jesus said, you need to watch and pray. Well, how do we watch? Well, we watch our steps. We watch the way that we're living. How do we know how to live a certain life? Well, we go to God's Word. It gives us instruction, the correction that's needed in this life. The reproof, as we read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The terror of the Lord is there, is evident. Another warning that Jesus says in Mark 16, verse 16, that he who does not believe will be condemned. The threat of eternal condemnation is around the corner. That if I decide I don't want to believe in Jesus Christ, I don't want to obey God the Father and Jesus Christ, eternal condemnation, eternal separation from God. Without belief in baptism, we're lacking the preparation for Jesus when he comes again. No knowledge of the plan of salvation. The terror of the Lord is evident around the corner. If you're still there in Matthew chapter 24, verses 38 and verse 39. It says, "For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." the days of Noah, the Old Testament, they were doing what they wanted when they wanted. They wanted to continue in that lifestyle. They were given in marriage. They were wicked before the eyes of God. And what happened? They were all swept away in the flood. All those that were outside there. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. They were living in sin. They were wicked before the eyes of God. Lot was found faithful with his family. They were told to get out. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They were destroyed. They were unprepared. Because they decided to do what they want when they want. Living in sin. Living in life, the pleasure of sin is not worth it all. You know, again, we think about this. Our lives are unexpected to end. We don't know when our life is going to take place, where we're going to pass away. One verse to think about with me before we close is James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Turn me there. James chapter 4. Verses 13 and 14. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Our life is short. Our lives are unexpected to end. Many people believe, well, I always have tomorrow. And we don't. We don't have tomorrow. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed on the men. The terror of the Lord is there. And it's our lives that are unexpected to end. We need to be ready now. We need to know God's Word. Know that we need to do God's Word. Thank you for your time and attention tonight. We'll talk about this just in a few moments more during the invitation. And thank you for your patience with me tonight. Thank you. About the subject of having a dusty Bible. I think it's evident looking at that we need to continue to open our Bible, to continue to learn, continue to study, to give time and attention to it. We're talking in the lesson about the subject of knowing, know Jesus, know salvation. If we don't have Jesus Christ in our life, we don't have that hope of eternal life. We don't have that promise that God has blessed us with of being able to have a heavenly home if we don't have Christ in our life. So tonight, as we kind of draw this lesson to an invitation, we need to know Jesus and know salvation. I need to have the knowledge of God. How do I do? Well, I have to open His Word. I have to study. If you go with me over to the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8 and verse 32. Jesus says here, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I got to know the truth. I got to have the knowledge. How am I going to know that if I close my Bible? If I don't study it? Jesus says, "I can know the truth." We talked in the lesson about the subject of sin. That if we close our Bible, we have a dirty life. A life that separated us from God. But Jesus says here, if I know the truth, I can be set free. I can have the bonds of sin removed. By doing God's Word and doing His will. By knowing the truth. By doing the things that God has asked me to do. I can hear words of welcome. If you go over to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. Verses 7 and verse 12. First of all, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And then in verse 12, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Verse 14, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. There are rewards if I do God's word, if I do God's will. Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. We're talking about how life is so short. Life could end unexpectedly, or Christ could come, and our physical life is ended. He says, behold, I'm coming. Well, there's another warning for us right there. He says, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is coming with me. And then verse 14 is, again, sums it all up. Blessed are those who do his commandment. I got work on my part to do, to be ready and to be prepared. With an open Bible, we can have an understanding of God's word, understanding of what is expected of us. We can have a life of service to God. God has given us his instruction, his inspired word, for us to be able to take to heart each day. Understand what we need to do to have eternal life. If you're here tonight and you have that desire, that you understand that you may be living in sin, you have not yet obeyed God's word, the invitation is open for you tonight. By opening and studying God's word, we can understand what we must do to be saved. We read in John chapter 8, verse 24, that we need to believe. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I need to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I need to believe in what he has done. I need to believe in what God has given to us as that hope of eternal life. As well as I need to understand the subject of sin, the danger of sin. And I need to repent from it. In Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you, no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. I need to make that 180-degree turn away from sin and turn to God. We read in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that we need to make confession. With our own mouth, confession is made of our belief in Jesus Christ. I need to confess before everyone that I need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. As well as I need to have my sins washed away through baptism. Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Those are the things that I need to do. If you're here tonight, you have not yet obeyed God's word. That's what you need to do tonight to be ready. To be ready for when the Lord will come. And then as well, need to be ready to continue to do his commandments. Continue to observe the things that Jesus Christ has commanded. That's what he was telling his apostles. To continue to teach the things that he has commanded. We need to observe those commandments continually every day of our life. If you're here tonight and you have obeyed God's word, but you have given back into the ways of sin, you need to turn back to God tonight. We read in Acts chapter 8, verse 22, where Simon the sorcerer sinned and Peter came to him and said, you need to repent. Pray to God that your sins may be forgiven. You need to turn back to God tonight by recognizing sin, repenting of it, and turning back to him tonight. If you're here tonight and you need prayers of encouragement, whatever the case may be, we'll be glad to help you, be glad to assist you, be glad to help you in any way possible. All you have to do is let it be known tonight how we can assist you. Have a seat on the front or let it be known now. And you can do so now while together, while we stand and while we sing.